The Holy Gospel according to John, the fourth chapter.
Glory
to you, O Lord. So, Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. The Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket. The well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You're right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. But what you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar, went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" And they left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more and then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. You ever been thirsty? I'm talking that working outside in the middle of July when the corn is over your head, the air is so thick you could cut it with a knife, kind of thirsty. Can you feel even now what it's like when you take that first sip of cold water into your mouth? How you almost don't have to swallow, it just kind of soaks right in. Every time those moments make me think, wow, that's the best drink of water I ever had. But kind of like doing the laundry or dusting, you also know you'll be thirsty again sometime. The air will be thick. You'll be sweaty. The water will taste great. It'll quench your thirst, but only for a time. You can understand then why the Samaritan woman wants some of this water that Jesus says he can give her that will quench her thirst for all time. What a time savings that would be. No more coming to the well. For us, it might be, well, no more spending money on pop or energy drinks or coffee. Like Nicodemus last week, the Samaritan woman doesn't fully get what's going on. She can't see it. Can't fully understand it. She gets close at the end, though. Close enough to invite others to come and see. The water that Jesus is talking about is different. It quenches the thirst of the soul, not the body. And when Jesus gives it, it almost seems like, from what he's saying, that it transfers to us. It becomes, he says, a spring bubbling up inside of us. That spring reference connects us back to Genesis 2, where a stream rises up from the earth and waters the whole face of the ground, bringing forth life that becomes the garden. It connects us to Psalm 1, which reminds us that those who meditate on God's word are like trees planted by streams of water. Connects us to the river in Revelation 22 that flows from the throne of God to water the world. Have you ever been thirsty in your soul? Felt the dryness of life lived with only the pursuit of wealth, fame, power, things? Drunk from each of those only to find they don't quench your thirst but only lead to the desire for more? This is what drinking from the waters that comes from Christ quenches. The waters that are God's Word and God's Spirit. When we plant ourselves beside the water of Scripture, read and heard, when we plant ourselves beside Jesus, God's Word in the flesh, when we dip again into the waters of our baptism, feel that water flowing over our heads, feel the mark of the cross being made on our foreheads. When we hear again the claim of our identity, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. When we dwell in the authentic community of the people of God, striving to live as an outpost of the reign of God, then we will receive the waters that become a gushing spring inside of us. Living, active, life-giving waters that nothing from outside of us can still. And we drink from these waters because they will quench the thirst of our souls. And the more we take in, the more it becomes a spring within us, one that not only quenches our thirst, but will continually spill out into the lives of others. Water is essential for life, yeah? Farmers watch the weather, looking for rain at just the right time and in just the right amount, because without water, crops wither and die. We as humans can only go 3 to 7 days without water before we die. Almost 3/4 of this planet is covered in water. And about 50 to 70% of our bodies are composed of water. H2O is an essential part of life. And this is part of the reason why we as followers of Jesus strive to be good stewards of this precious resource. We advocate for policies that clean up polluted waterways. Here in Iowa, the main problem is nitrates from agricultural runoff. We attend to how and where we use our water so that there might be enough for all. The UN reports that 4 billion people experience severe water scarcity for at least 1 month in the year. Water is also necessary for our hygiene. Something that's a challenge for many people, especially those who are experiencing homelessness. And this is why, through our generosity as a congregation to the Southeastern Iowa Synod, who then supports the wider ELCA ministries, places like the Dwelling in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, provides a mobile shower ministry where people experiencing homelessness are able to be washed and renewed, as they say, as a reminder of their belovedness. This ministry believes that, quote, there is healing and dignity that comes with the gift of water. Water, high quality H2O, is essential for life. But when we drink of it, we will get thirsty again. The image of living water that Jesus uses of a spring gushing up to eternal life, of water that quenches thirst for all time, conveys a spiritual truth in a way that we can begin to grasp. It tells us the truth that only what Jesus offers will quench that spiritual thirst in us. And what is that thirst? Well, I wonder if looking at the woman gives a clue. Jesus sees her. The fact that he, as a Jewish male, even asks her as a Samaritan female for a drink. Just that fact crossed at least two major barriers in that society, gender and ethnicity. And yet he acknowledged her and he asks for a drink of water. And then beyond that, he truly sees her. We don't quite know what the conversation is about the five husbands and what that means, but he shows he knows her and he knows what her life is like. That he knows her circumstances and the challenges they have brought her. It's an acknowledgement of her position without judgment or condemnation. You ever had that gift from someone? Of truly being seen by them. Being heard, acknowledged, affirmed. Kind of roots you, doesn't it? Makes you feel more real, substantial. Jesus does the same for us that he does for all those who he meets in his ministry. He looks at them and he sees them. Sees the fullness of who they are, and he loves them. He comes, as our text said last week, not to condemn the world, but to save it. To bring them this life-giving water that is from God. To see them for who they truly are. Beloved children of God, fearfully and wonderfully made, with whom God is well pleased. An identity that begins to open this spring of living water inside of us. One commentator noted that right after she asked for this living water, the woman goes to invite and bring others to see. And they wonder, could this be living water? Going to invite and bringing others to Jesus? Could it be that the way we receive living water is to give it away? It's possible that term living water means moving water. Water that is always in motion, not stagnant somewhere. So perhaps water we try to keep is no longer living, moving water. It becomes stale, still water stored in a barrel somewhere. And maybe only water that is flowing out is truly living water. We're working through our mission statement this Lent. And we've acknowledged that what grounds us first is God's welcome to us. A welcome to God's table and to this assembly that is part of the body of Christ that is the church. We talked last week about how we are fed. To shift the metaphor to today, how we are given living water. in the word that comes to us in Scripture and proclaimed, in the sacraments of the meal and the font, the authentic fellowship of the body of believers that is the church. And that statement goes on to talk about how we go to feed others, to invite and welcome them. Sounds an awful lot like our story today, doesn't it? Friends, I didn't plan any of this. I wish I had enough forethought to have looked at this text and to have thought about it as we were going through our process of getting this mission statement. But when I discovered how well this text fits into our conversation about the mission statement, I was convinced more than ever the Spirit was already at work in us. And through that discernment process, to call our congregation into this ministry because it matches the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the scripture we received this morning, both the reading and, I pray, in this proclamation, and also that sermon you're preaching in your head right now that's different from the one I'm doing, I pray that the meal we will share in mere minutes and in our own embrace of our baptism, that in the fellowship that we share in our life together, I pray that we are fed. That we receive the living water that is Jesus that comes through the Holy Spirit. And for it to remain living water, we know that it needs to flow, to go out and spill over others as we see them and love them and care for them. In the same way that God and Jesus has looked at and cared for each of us. And for that, perhaps that's how it remains living water, because it's always moving beyond us, flowing out into the world to water other thirsty souls, to invite them to come and see. See the one who saw the fullness of who we were and loved us so. The one who will quench our thirst with living water. You ever been thirsty? Then come. Receive the living water that will become a wellspring flowing up inside of you. And you will never thirst again. Thanks be to God.